All I can say this morning is I'm so glad this year that the donkey costume was too small for me. Thank Tara, our children's ministry, staff, worship people, just so many people went into doing it. There's like 50 people involved with doing this, and just thank you and appreciate you all for helping us to come into the Christmas season, final week, in the right frame of mind. Let me pray for us. And I do pray, God, as we come into this final stretch on our calendar, we are reminded about the meaning of the season. So help us to focus now and to put our perspective on your perspective for this season and the other things that so often distract us. May they fall into the background as we center upon the birth of Christ again. I pray in your name. Amen. As Les read for the Advent candle, we are talking about promises this morning, and this is a week where everybody makes some kind of promise or another. And usually the promise goes something like this if you're a parent with kids. If you are good, have you ever heard yourself saying that? And in that is the inherent promise, something good will happen for you. The trouble is when you're making promises with people who are imperfect, sometimes the outcome of those promises are imperfect. And this morning we want to go back to the greatest promise God has ever made to us, and the promise that we know that he will keep and can keep because of who he is. This whole Advent season, we've been looking at this verse, John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But then here's the promise. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And this promise that Jesus is making to Nicodemus across the table was one that was predicted by Isaiah centuries before. There are over 300 prophecies, promises made about Jesus in the Old Testament, all fulfilled in Jesus himself. And this morning we're looking at this one simple promise, the promise of peace that God makes. And he makes it in Isaiah's time to King Ahaz. In a time of great turmoil, a time of great upheaval, a time when Israel again was sort of wandering and wounded and broken, not knowing what to do, God steps into space, time, and history again, into a very broken and fragmented world to make this promise. He has told Isaiah, he has told Ahaz the king, look for help in my word. That was the verse that Les read for us. Consult my word, consult me for the help that you need. But then he goes on to say, and even if you don't do that, I still make a promise to you. And he then goes on to make this amazing prophecy in Isaiah 9 we rehearse so often during the Advent season, which starts off by saying, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. Nevertheless, in spite of the brokenness, the darkness, how difficult your life and world may be, God says, nevertheless, in spite of all that, darkness will be gone. Because I always keep my word. And in these next few verses are amazing promises of God's peace to us that we can rehearse and remember and practice and call to mind when we need it, especially this week. So first of all, we're looking at this morning, the peace that comes when God speaks into your brokenness and my brokenness. Because every single one of us at some point in our life will be broken. That's the reality of living in a broken world. And Isaiah, again, makes this promise on God's behalf. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. It seems like every year we come into the Advent season and there's some upheaval, some turmoil, some brokenness that we are rehearsing again and again in our world. And maybe that brokenness is economic, or it's national, or it's war, or disease, or there's some family brokenness you're living with. But it's a constant reminder that our world is imperfect, our world is broken. And I've said this before, I'll remind us again, if you are talking, if you are worried more about the brokenness of your world than the control of Jesus of your world, you will never have peace. And that is more so true than this Christmas and any other. If you are talking, if you are worried more about the brokenness of your world than the control of Jesus of your world, you will never have peace in your life. Our world will always be broken. And we live that each and every day. And Isaiah is saying to God's people, I know your life may not be what you wanted. It may not be what you expected. But the good news is that hope is on the way. That's why Isaiah starts his prophecy off by saying, nevertheless, but, I've told you before, more times than not, watch out for the buts in Scripture because something good's coming. But, in spite of how you perceive the world, no matter how you experience the world to be right now, God says, I make a promise to you, darkness will be gone. Gloom will be dispelled. We had our first snowstorm, if you're watching somewhere else in the country, the world. And we do. This is funny for it. We do. We had our first snowstorm in New England. People get all panicked every year. It's New England. It's going to snow. The only question is when is going to snow and when is going to stop snowing. And with the coming of snow means everyone, if you're smart and you lived in New England for any period of time, you've already checked out your generators. When we first moved to New Hampshire years ago, we had that big, huge, major ice storm where we lost power. Some of you lost power for weeks. At that point, we were the only house on our street with a generator. So I went out, cranked it up, and amazing how many neighbors and friends you have in a hurry when you have power and nobody else does, when you have heat and nobody else does, when you have food and nobody else does. Our house became the neighborhood for the week that we were out without power. Since then, people have gotten smarter and gotten their own. But every day during that blackout, remember, you always look for the hope of that power truck on your street. And we were at a friend's house one night for dinner, and all of a sudden you heard the beep, beep of the trucks, and you saw the lights going on, you saw the bucket trucks go up, you saw the people working on the house on the pole lines. We said, maybe it's coming. So we all ran home, had the kids in the car, we all booked it up our street. And the only reason I knew that power had come onto our street was I could see our doorbell light in the middle of the darkness. It had never looked so good after a week without power. God says to Isaiah, to us, I know it's dark. I know it seems helpless. I know it's hard. But hold on. This light's coming, I promise. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the shadow of death, light has come. And we are told throughout Scripture that that promise of light is fulfilled in Jesus. John in 1 John says, this is the message we have heard from him proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And John in his gospel, the word became flesh, dwelt among us, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. See, in the birth of Jesus, God fulfills his promise of light to us in our dark places. And Jesus owns that identity. One of the things he says in the gospels, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will always have the light of light. See, dark is always scary, and the promise of light always brings hope. And Jesus gives that promise of light that God has made. People walking in darkness, and maybe that's you right now. A great light has come for us to see. And in the seeing of that light, in the living of that light, peace is revealed. Peace also comes to us when our victory is assured. Isaiah goes on, he says, you have multiplied the nations. You have increased this joy. They rejoice before you as the joy of the harvest. They are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as if you did on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle, the tumult, every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Peace comes when we know that we have won the battle, when your victory is assured. Paul says, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been around here any period of time, you know that I say often, Jesus wins. Jesus gives us the victory. If you could do anything in your life and knew you would not fail, what would you do today? If you could do anything in your life and knew you would not fail and put aside all the excuses, what would you do today? I love the Christmas ad that comes on every so often during Christmas season. There's a little kid. He comes up to the jewelry counter. I forget if it's K or one of the jewelry. Comes to the jewelry counter. He pulls out the pockets of change, you know, and the dollar, crumpled dollar bill, you know, that, and all the loose change in his pockets because he wants to buy mom this $5,000 diamond tennis bracelet. And the cashier is looking at him, and there's dad behind him with the plastic going, this. And the cashier says, sure. When you have somebody standing behind you who has your back, who promises you victory, what would you do with your life? Because that's what God is doing in his promise of Jesus. He is standing not just beside, behind you, but with you, alongside of you, in you, and saying, I promise you victory. God's son Jesus rules and reigns supreme. Luke chapter 1 says, he will be great and called the son of the most high. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign on David's, he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. That's not a wimpy Jesus. That's not a defeated Jesus that we sometimes live and sometimes proclaim. That is the victorious Christ. And most of us don't live with the victorious Christ. We don't worship a victorious Jesus. We don't worship a biblical Jesus. For far too often, our Jesus is just some sort of token luck charm, good luck charm, and he's powerless. Isaiah says, no, this child, when he is born, he will not be powerless. God says, when my Savior comes to you, he will not be powerless. And Isaiah was looking forward to that day when this son, this child would be born, the Savior would be born, the conqueror, the ruler, the king over all. And Revelation is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on Christmas, Jesus came as the innocent baby. But that wasn't his identity. That wasn't his destiny. That wasn't his calling. That's not where his story ends and not where your story ends if Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. Your story, your life ends in victory with Christ, just as Jesus' story ends in victory. See, at Christmas time, it is so easy to leave Jesus here because he's safe. He's small. He's cute. He's the baby. Look at the twins in the back. You like these kids. I can handle them. But that's not the Savior we follow. We follow and we worship the risen, conquering King over all of creation who rules and reigns supreme. Isaiah gives the image of Midian. This is a story in the Old Testament where Gideon tries to overcome the Midianite armies. And every time Gideon tries to go out to battle, God says, no, you got too many soldiers. You got too many soldiers. You got too many soldiers. And finally wind up with only 300 men. And Gideon says, I can't do this with 300 men. He said, yeah, but I can. And God leads him to victory. And he says through Isaiah, just as I crushed your enemies with a smaller force, I will stand by you and I will crush your enemies. Because my Savior, my Son, your King rules and reigns supreme. And God promises us and gives us a victorious Savior. He doesn't promise us an accountant or a king or a pastor or a president or a snowplow driver, or you may have wanted it last night. But the risen, conquering King of all creation, Jesus. And when Christ is on your side, you can live and walk in peace, knowing God has got your back each and every day. And we need to be reminded of that because we don't live that way. And he didn't come because he will make people feel better about themselves, get in touch with their feelings, or even give them great skin. I found this ad this week. You got this ad? See this? Lotion P50. Anybody ever use it? I don't want to know. Invented by Dr. Alouche. That's my French. I'm not a good French person. Spanish, Italian, but not French. It's called Lotion P50. It's been described and is marketed as Jesus for your skin in a bottle. Because the ad campaign is that this will save your skin. That's not why Christ came. You can't put Christ in a bottle to save your skin. He came to save you from your sins. I'm sorry, that sounds tacky, but it's true. The word from Isaiah, you shall call him Jesus because he will save you from your sins. And the peace of Jesus comes from being assured of the victory of Christ over death, over sin, over hell and the earth. See, God promises victory and he delivers. And if we live that and know that and hold on to that truth, you'll have peace. No matter how hard your world may seem at the time. And peace also comes when you know your peacemaker. And this is those last amazing verses from Isaiah. For unto us, that's you and me, unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. Not in D.C., not in any other capital of the world, but on his shoulders the government will rest. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and uphold it with his kingdom. And he will establish it and hold it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The God's promise that this peacemaker, when he comes, will be unlike any other. Now, you and I live with peacemakers all the time. Parents, we look for parents to settle squabbles between ourselves and our brothers and sisters. We want our parents to be our peacemakers. Or maybe it's your HR department or an internet influencer or maybe a counselor. They're all helpful peacemakers, all temporary peacemakers. Because you know as soon as this fight with your brother stops today, there's going to be another one tomorrow. You're going to need another intervention. Any human peacemaker we go to today is temporary. Christ is eternal. And Isaiah has been building this prophecy up to this moment. And again, remember he started where he started off. Darkness, gloom, be gone, cast out, you're gone forever. And it's a small melody that starts to build throughout this prophecy. And line after line, word after word, he builds it upon word. It's like that first ray of light after a storm, the first drops of rain after a drought. And Isaiah builds his case. You've seen a great light. And he goes on. You've enlarged the nations. You've increased their joy. You removed the burdens. You brought peace. You brought salvation. You brought light. You brought hope. You brought love. You brought joy. And then finally, and you bring peace. And if Krista was up here, I would ask her to hit the cymbals. Because on this one line, Isaiah's prophecy and all of the Old Testament puts his faith to look for the future because he says, for unto us a child is born. And this child will be no ordinary child. And the names that he now gives him, Wonderful Counselor. He will be unmatched in wisdom and understanding. He will be a mighty God, literally the God hero you've been looking for, the God of war who can strike down any enemy you will come across, who has the power to accomplish anything he needs to. He will be the everlasting Father, the Father you always wanted to have, the dad without any end, who will comfort, who will protect, who will provide, the parent who will never leave you, never abandon you, the parent who will never call it quits on you, no matter how much you rebel against him. He will say, I will still be there. The prodigal son, welcome home. That dad, the everlasting one. And he will be the Prince of Peace. That he will be in charge of all peace in all the world at all times. That was the message from the angels that night. Peace on earth, goodwill, on whom his favor rests. It is the final word given to us in the New Testament, in Revelation. The dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. And then here's the peace. No more death. No more mourning. And no more pain. And it's found in this child, this Savior, who will rule and reign forever, that no power in heaven or hell can overthrow. See, we have so muddled the message of Jesus' coming, and Isaiah resets our vision, resets our mind, resets our hearts, resets our attitude, resets all that we know about Christmas, because he says this child is born, regardless of what you spend this week, that this child is born, regardless of how you celebrate, this child is born, no matter if it's a pandemic or not a pandemic, no matter what else you are saying, this child is born in the midst of the darkness that you're in, the brokenness you're living, the bruised lives, the world that we walk in. God is shouting into our life and our world that there is hope, there is love, there is joy, there is peace, because this child, this counselor, this protector, this hero, this provider, this peacemaker, this savior is born for you, and nothing will stand. Nothing will stand in the way of his kingdom. That's who you worship on this Christmas. Don't let any other message, any other obstacle get in your way of seeing that or proclaiming that. And Isaiah says, the passion of God Almighty will accomplish this. He will bring it about for your benefit, for my benefit, and for the sake of the world. His passion for his purpose and his people. He will reign forever and ever. And whatever darkness your soul finds itself in on this Christmas, know that the passionate God of all creation is delivering you light and hope through a relationship with him through his son, Jesus. And whether it's that road trip to the relatives, the presence stuck in the docks, the quietness of your room, that message doesn't change. And don't let any other voice, any other news story, anything else this week shout it out or shut you out from that message. Or living and celebrating that message this week. See, God made this promise in Nicodemus that he came by God's design to save the world and bring peace with you. With us to God through his life and his death and his resurrection. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it but to save it. That's peace that lasts for eternity. Don't let anything or anyone or any force in nature take that away from you this Christmas. Live in its reality, celebrate it, and proclaim it. And let God flood your lives with his peace this Christmas. And as he does, may we flood the lives of people around us with that same peace. Be that contrary voice to what you hear in culture. And be a person who brings peace because Jesus has brought you and me peace. And nobody can take that away from you. And we need to be reminded of that. Let me pray. It is so hard, God. There are so many other voices that shout in, that crowd in, that push in. So many forces that work against us. In the world, within our families, there are so many other things that drown out the message and the purpose of your coming. Forgive us when we listen to the voices more than we listen to you. Forgive us when we have forgotten that it is Jesus who rules and reigns supreme. And we talk about you less than we talk about the things around us more. But I pray, especially on this Christmas, God, you would renew within each of us who follow you, who know you, who acknowledge you as Savior and Lord, to proclaim well, to celebrate well, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of my moment, that you do rule and reign supreme. And that should bring peace to my life. And I should be the messenger of peace to others as well. May we do that well. May we do that together. And may we do that with confidence, because knowing that you have given us the victory through this child who has been born, this child who will rule and reign supreme, this child to whom we place our love and our allegiance as Lord and Savior. And if we do that, then Christmas has power, and Christmas will change our lives and the lives around us this year and every year. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.